Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Great moments in history have begun with a question.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
And what kind of hair product does Mitch Moss use? But Follow the Money wants to know.
Do you concur? Concur with what, sir? Do you concur?
All right, let's rumble. It was a fun year. They were close. I know some Knicks fans, a little lunatics out there about how they thought they were the better team. In any event, first time in 25 years they make the conference finals. As a result, though, the Knicks will overreact and make a big change in the offseason. Do you concur? Whether that's firing someone or making a big trade. Any way you want.
You know what? I'm going to go no.
Really?
I don't think they're going to overreact because Brunson is going... They're going to keep Thibodeau. Very important there for Brunson.
I don't think
they're going to overreact and fire him. That would be a huge mistake. And then I don't think they're going... Because to me, I think that, you know, trade... Like, what do they have to give up for somebody like Giannis Antetokounmpo? Would it be... You have to gut the whole team? That'd be stupid. Why would they do that?
I would say you have to gut the team, but that's...
So,
but certainly Bridges is an odd fit.
Yeah, but he played well in the postseason. Mm-hmm. I also think this about the Eastern Conference. Like, how many teams are better than them as of right now?
Good question.
Right? I mean,
that's fair.
Certainly the writing appears to be on the wall for the Celtics. They might do, and Tatum obviously is not going to be back. How many guys are not going to be back with that team? Not named Jason Tatum. The Cavaliers, I still have trust issues with them big time. The Pacers are obviously going to be good. The Bucks, you can have them. No way. Honestly, the Pistons might be the team to watch out for next year.
Would be.
But other than that, I think you... Maybe this is me talking now. I don't think you have... You don't have to blow it up. I think that'd be kind of unnecessary. And an overreaction. What say you?
I think they're going to... I think whether they fire Tibbs or make a big trade, I think that's on the table. I think that could happen. I hope not.
Cannot fire Tibbs.
I would agree, but some people think it could happen. That was a great moment and a tough moment with Ernie Johnson on Saturday night, who has worked with Turner since 1989.
Cool.
Do you concur?
I concur, yeah. I mean, end of an era. Sad to see it go. It's the best studio show. Again, we talk about this all the time, right? The post-game reaction, it's the best one that's ever been created in any sport, right? What Brett Musburger did originally, way ahead of his time, with NFL Today, College Game Day on ESPN has been incredible. And then this show as well, but on a different level.
Yeah.
Right? To have those professional players react like they normally do, and Ernie is the Hall of Fame point guard. It spreads it out, and he's so humble. I mean...
Well, the whole thing's ridiculous because it goes back to the head of Warner Brothers who just says, well, we don't need the NBA. And then Adam Silver got angry about it and says, okay, fine. And he's like, and then they went with ESPN, Amazon, and
NBC.
And NBC. Mm-hmm. And that's it, and you're out. So now it leads to this. And you saw what Shaq said. I can't believe two F-bombs on live television. And Shaq gave you a heads up, and it still snuck through. We're not here to mess around. ESPN will mess up inside the NBA. And people are going to be livid. Do you concur?
God, I really hope not. I really hope not. You can't mess with this show. You can't tinker it, but I have to concur.
They will tinker, or their format is so ridiculous, it's just not going to be able to let these guys cook.
Yeah,
I think it was awful announcing. Someone did a write-up on it. Going back to last year in the finals, there were five people on the broadcast at the halftime show for ESPN. They spoke for a minute and 20 seconds each.
That's exactly right.
It's nothing but commercials.
Sure. Did you see what Bill Simmons said on his podcast?
I did.
That's exactly what he was hinting at, is like, if you don't let these guys breathe right after the game's over with and at halftime, then people are going to be irate with you and it's not going to work.
Yep.
This is not rapid fire here. You got 4 seconds, let's go, and add more people and have some stupid hot take on it. This is going to be like a long-form podcast that they have to talk about. Again, whatever it was, TNT seemed like it had endless amounts of time. Hey, we're going to go for 2 hours tonight if we want to.
Sure.
Okay, go ahead, boys.
Sure, got no problem filling the airtime.
Yep, but if they try to tinker with this and change it and get their more... The stuff that's just... No, they can't do that, and I have a funny feeling that they will.
I think you're right. As what you just said, too, about... The Tatum injury, the Knicks, who knows what the Cavs are going to do. The league is unbalanced. But Durant and Freak get or stay in the East when you see what... And then Dallas gets the number one pick, too. And Wembanyama was hurt, but he's... I mean, it's, you know what I'm saying? Chris Finch had a great line after their season ended. There are 13 or 14 teams now going into next year who think we could be a top five or top six seed, and you might only win 42 games. So,
you know what the Spurs were in the West last year?
Go ahead.
Third worst.
Oh, God. It's like, what are you doing?
With Wemby coming back, the number two pick, they could trade that for a superstar and whatever else, with De'Aaron Fox now into the mix as well, and all that young talent. That was a 13th team.
Sure.
In the West last year.
So if you're a freak and how about San Antonio? How about just stay in the East? Durant, get to the East. Phoenix is going to trade you. Just get out of there.
I would agree.
Get out.
There is a path for the East. The West is I think we've said this for like 25 years. Somehow, some way, the West keeps getting better on an annual basis. The Dodgers played at Yankee Stadium last year in the regular season. The following Monday, I said, and do you concur, that they need to play every single year? I was wrong. They need to play at least twice every single year. Do you concur?
No. How much do you want to tinker with the schedule?
You like less is more?
Well, how many times are the Mets playing the Yankees? I mean, this could decide playoff spots, too. You never know.
Well, we have interleague play every single day now of the season.
Yeah.
Just give me three at Yankee Stadium. Give me three at Chavez Ravine.
Oh, boy.
I watched Friday night. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I know.
It was a perfect night in Los Angeles. I mean, the game came across as just, you know, award-winning the way it looked on Apple TV. And then for Judge and Ohtani to deliver like that within the first 15 minutes, you couldn't have asked for anything more.
Yeah. Can't go there.
You don't want it?
What are you taking the game? Like, what are you? I can't play the Rockies now three more times? I mean, who are you removing? Are you taking away division games? What are you going to do with it? Mets, Yankees, Cubs, White Sox?
Yeah, get rid of some of the other crap.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You're on the right track, but it's hard in baseball.
Mariners catcher Cal Raleigh went nuts again this weekend, hit a ton of bombs. He leads all of Major League Baseball now in home runs. He can sneak his way into the AL MVP mix. Do you concur?
It's kind of. It has to be an injury.
Probably at this point.
Because still he plays in Seattle. Judge hitting 400 and he's minus 3,000.
Might win the Triple Crown. Right. But for a catcher to be doing this?
I know.
He's on pace to hit 50 plus home runs.
It's got to be an injury.
That's the only way?
Yep.
I kind of think that too, but I know. It should not be unnoticed what the season that Cal Raleigh is having for the Seattle Mariners. He was, I think, 225-1 preseason to lead the league in home runs.
Really?
Yeah.
I buy it. Okay, one more. No excuses. This goes for me, goes for everyone. We live in a great city, and I know we've had issues with F1 and all the traffic and all the cones everywhere, but you got to get out with these unbelievable restaurants and sights and scenes and get out there and take it. You just forget about stuff, and I was all over Shauna for like 5 years. I go, well, let's go to the Bellagio Conservatory. And then I went there as well Saturday. Piece of cake, no problem, no traffic. 9:10 in the morning, I got there in 5 minutes, and you just think about how great that is. Look at this, is all flowers, how they put this together. Walking through, you got the tiger here. Look at this, with the setup, the waterfall, the flowers. There's a zebra on the other side, which I took a picture. You can check me out on X at Pauly Howard to see. And then what they do for Chinese New Year, what they do for the holidays. Whoever does this, it's just, and I think they change it every 3 or 4 months.
I think it's every month.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
April was so good. I went there, I think, 3 times.
But just to think
twice about, for the conservatory.
Really?
Yeah.
So you start, you got the conservatory, hang out, you go have lunch at Lago. You got the view with the fountains. There's the Eiffel Tower across the street, Paris as well. And that is such a top-notch operation, how they put that together at the Bellagio.
So you said something there that gets completely under the radar as well that people never consider. The traffic here on the weekends, we're talking Saturday and Sunday only, early. And we're talking anywhere between, like, I don't know, 6 a.m. to 10, 11 a.m. sometimes.
There's no one there.
There's no, like, the strip traffic is not bad.
I couldn't believe it.
You can maneuver and get down, and, I mean, you could be the man about town, going from casino to casino or getting to wherever you want to go, no problem.
Yeah.
That might not sound like much, but out here, like, it's become a huge problem. On the weekends, not bad at all. And how many restaurants we have? It's restaurant week, by the way, out here now. I cannot tell you how Las Vegas over the last, I don't know, 10 years has turned into, if it's not like the best restaurant city in the country,
yep,
it's certainly right there with San Francisco and New York and, yep, you know, Chicago. It's right there with them.
Well, that's another thing, though, and shame on the casinos, where we've become New York, L.A. It was $40 to valet.
Oh, I had dealt with that yesterday.
It's just,
There is one spot that's struggling here big time, and they finally said, you know what, locals in our, you're going to be free again to come in. It's Resorts World. They had to tap out of charging everybody.
I don't get it.
And I will say this, too, to one more thing. That,
I'm coming in to gamble?
Yeah.
Eat?
I'm going to give you my money.
Come on.
I might lose a lot of money on your property right now in the next hour, and I got to pay $50 to do it? Okay. And this is a no comparison. I've never lived on the East Coast. Watching sports on the West Coast blows watching sports on the East Coast out of the water. The time zone difference.
Oh, yeah.
4 o'clock with the games.
You got no chance.
The late game.
You work a 9 to 5 and you got that morning traffic rush hour on the East Coast. You got to be up early.
Yep.
How late Monday night football goes or the Yankees playing on the West Coast. Forget it.
But it started at 10:15 on Friday night. You can have it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the West Coast viewing is in football season. I thought when I first moved out here from the Midwest, what's it going to be like to watch games? It took me half a year.
That's right.
I'm like, this is the absolute nuts.
Yep. Start your day with an edge and a game plan. VSiN Daily Morning Bets Podcast. Your first look at the day's lines, sharp action, market movement. In just 15 minutes, you'll get everything you need to know to make smarter wagers and stay ahead of the line moves all before your morning coffee's gone. Listen to the VSiN Daily Morning Bets Podcast wherever you go and get your podcast or get on the VSiN Watch app. Sharpest way to start your betting day, the VSiN Daily Morning Bets Podcast. Go get it.
We will discuss today's Major League Baseball card up next. A matchup has batter-friendly conditions, and it could be primed for runs. We'll tell you the game and the numbers next here on VSiN. So the Dodgers move on from playing the Yankees this weekend. Very impressive first 2 days for them. Yankees got one last night. And now the Dodgers have to play the Mets tonight. Again, Dodger Stadium. That's Blackburn going for the first time this year for the Mets. Picked up in the offseason. May for the Dodgers. May with a 4.2 ERA versus 3.92 FIP, Pauly. Bunch of Ks per nine. His splits kind of stand out as well. On the road this season, in five starts, May's ERA is 5.40. At home, which is where he's at tonight, it goes on a 2.95.
Mm-hmm.
More than two strikeouts per nine at home, and the whip is 1.06 compared to 1.4. So he is much better here at home than he is on the road.
Yeah, I was going to say it screams runs, but then you see how high it is with 9.5 at DraftKings and some other nines. Two best teams in baseball the last year. Since June 3rd, Mets 102 and 61, Dodgers 97 and 64. Most runs scored against the best team with ERA. Great matchup on paper. But this, I don't have a lot of confidence in Blackburn. I think Ohtani will touch him up. He's had some success against him. How long will he go is another question. But I also don't trust May. And we'll see you get the polar bear going. Soto finally hit a couple bombs. This is an incredible stat. They've won 26 games in a row when Lindor goes deep. So with the run that he's on and how well he's playing, and I would think that the Mets could be live here. I just don't know what you're going to get out of Blackburn. And
yeah,
that's cause for concern.
That's the biggest part of the whole gamble tonight, right? Or making the bet with the Mets?
Yeah, because it's a good price. I mean, how many times are the Mets going to be this price? I don't have a lot of confidence in May, too, which makes it, you know, not a bad look.
I saw Ohtani as low as plus 140. Who knows? He might be lower than that to hit a home run tonight. Plus 140. Wow. After he went crazy on Friday night. Tigers are playing at the White Sox. It's Flaherty. Remember that? I mean, they were not winning his games earlier this year.
Been better, though.
Yeah, against
Cannon. And he owns him. He owns him. Well, he's done well against him, I'll say, going back. Yep.
What do you have for numbers overall?
2-0 with a 1.56 last couple of years against him. But I guess, it's the White Sox. That's not saying much.
Right. Cannon, I'll give you. So there are a bunch of guys stand out today with the splits, right? The home road splits. Cannon this year is one of those guys. At home, the ERA is 1.17. On the road, the ERA is higher than 5. The whip is kind of similar, but his Ks per nine are also up by like 2 Ks per nine at home than when he's on the road. But Tigers they're awesome, man. I fully believe in this team.
Pitching's been great. Yep. Our guy Green's scuffling right now, so you can stay off him from a prop standpoint, but Carpenter's 4 of 8 against Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
He should touch him up. But during this stretch here, the last 7, Detroit 1.60 ERA, top 5 starter ERA, top 5 bullpen ERA. I will trust Flaherty tonight And I don't mind the run line, and they should be all over Cannon tonight. Yeah.
His numbers are a little bit wonky on the road compared to at home, by the way, for what it's worth. But maybe he turned the corner here recently. And the offense, after doing nothing in the last couple of games against the Royals, maybe they can pick it up here today. Maybe the Royals' pitching is that good with Walk and Bubic, what they were able to do.
You see a Walk prop on, I was looking here for, Torres has walked 9 games in a row. I forgot to look at that, what that price is.
Okay.
All right, he's plus 155.
To get one tonight?
Yeah, he's walked 9 games in a row.
Well, that's a pretty good streak then to go with.
Yeah, that's a DraftKings with the plus 155.
Cannon's walk rate is almost 2.7 per 9.
All right.
So he's going to walk some guys. So maybe that Torres will get it home for you. Padres at the Giants. Kolek is taking on Webb. Kolek on the road, only 3 starts, 1.33 with the ERA. Webb at home, you know, this has been a huge talking point for Logan Webb for a lot of his career here in San Francisco, where you want him at home compared to on the road, and that's not any different this year. The road ERA is almost 4. The home ERA is at 1.39. The whip is also much lower as well. .174, though, against Kolek and the Padres.
Giants can't hit, Mitch.
Yeah, you think that's a big number for the Mets tonight to grab.
Yeah.
I think this is a big number here on the Padres.
Yep.
Plus 156 at Circa seems a little juicy to me. Machado against Webb, 13 of 35, 371 overall. 11 of those hits were singles, a double and a home run. If you're looking at playing his props, Arise, 8 of 13, all singles. And Merrill also has good numbers off Logan Webb.
If it's tight late, in play, a big edge to the Giants. Remember how bad this Padre bullpen has been lately after they were so good to start the season? Last 9 games, Giants pen, ERA under 1, number 1 bullpen in ERA now. So that's a huge edge here. But their issues hitting, pitching's been solid. But I would say if that's tight, that's the way. The other thing, too, about what's going on in this season. Home teams, second highest win percentage in the divisional era. 1978 was the only time with a higher winning percentage. Home teams are crushing it this year, what they're doing.
I want to know. Okay, so I'm going to go to the standings right now. I'll look at how skewed that might be based on some of the really, really bottom feeders of the league.
Because we got one team that's 3-28.
Yep. And you said the
Mets
A's
are awesome at home.
The A's are what now on the road? What's their streak?
The A's have lost 11 in a row on the road.
And they're still 11 in a row? They're 14-18. So they got those 14 games on the road, like, as wins right away to begin the season?
Yeah, let me double check. I believe that's what it is, yeah.
White Sox are, oh boy, they're horrible on the road.
Sure.
The Orioles are horrible on the road. The Marlins are 9-17 the way it looks. The Pirates are terrible on the road. So you have, you know, doesn't help that the worst teams in all of baseball at the bottom of their divisions anyway, they can't win road games.
Yeah, that is correct. The A's beat the Dodgers on the road May 14th. Haven't won since.
Wow. Well, they have played a lot of road games in that time.
They were 22-20. Now they're 23-37. Hello.
Well, speaking of that team, I expect runs. They're back at home tonight in Sacramento. Yep.
You do?
I expect runs.
Ooh, Joe Ryan's been nuts.
No, he's been nasty, but don't forget this home park at night, and this ties in, right? Mid-80s at opening pitch, winds blowing out up to 15 miles an hour to left center. Severino, here you go. Severino splits.
Yeah.
On the road in 5 starts, he has a sub-1 ERA, which would be one of the best in all of baseball, obviously. His whip, very, very good as well. At home here in Sacramento in 7 starts, the ERA balloons up to north of 6. The whip is almost 1.5, and his numbers overall, 0 home runs allowed on the road to 4 here at home. I played over 9. I laid like 30 cents with it earlier today. That was when it was moving up to 9.5.
24th in runs, Lewis is scuffling. 0 for his last 30. He's hitting 120 this year.
Yeah, it's not going well for him.
The magic number is 5 when the Twins score 5 or more, 21-2. Joe Ryan, 9-1 to the under, and 4-0 with a 1.50 in his last 6 starts. They have won 16 of the last 19 against the A's and punished them. And I think they'll punish him again tonight. Even money on the run line in some spots. I think they'll get to Severino. Good luck with your total bet.
Where else are you looking tonight? I got some numbers here on Anderson.
Yeah, he's been good. What do you think? Well, there's a lot going on here. Hmm? Do you trust Fitz? Good job getting 2 out of 3, but
this is Angels Red Sox we're talking about.
Yep. Anderson's been good. Do you trust Fitz? And also, what's the holdup here with Anthony?
Anthony? I don't get it.
Especially after what the kid, they just called, the Royals just called up the kid too.
Yeah, Caglione, yeah.
People are stunned in Boston.
You have to call him up now. He's absolutely blasting pitching, by the way, in the minors. You got to bring him up. He's a huge stud, one of the best prospects, if not the best prospect in baseball. Anderson, again, some splits here, right? 3.39 ERA and a 5.19 FIP. The home ERA is 2.34. On the road, 4.78. It doubles on the road. The whip is 1.48 on the road as well, compared to 1 when it's at home. Not much of a sample size to go with here with Fitz. But, I would imagine that this will probably not go well for Anderson tonight and the Angels. Like the Red Sox with the team total, maybe like a first five or something like that. Yeah.
How about what Devers is doing? Remember that horrible start
he had? Of course.
He's rocking it as well.
He leads baseball and RBIs right now.
Yep.
So that he'll be the fly in the ointment to Judge potentially winning the Triple Crown.
Yep. Angels have lost 7 of 8 as well. Another team on a bad streak.
Yeah. So I can't back them.
Got that. Yep. That's another one. If Mets Dodgers is tight late, what you see what Diaz is doing? I mean, that's another one too. If that's tight, you can take the Mets in play. Yeah.
One more thing, Marquez. Yep, by the way, you brought this up.
I like the Rockies. I'm on record.
9.42 ERA and 7 starts on the road. 1.88 WHIP. Everything is bad on the road for Marquez.
Yeah. Well, Meyer's got an ERA of 7 less, and he couldn't hold that 6-run lead in the first against the Friars. I'm going to hold my nose. I think the Rockies can get plus 1.5, $1.20.
Good luck, my friend.
Got that? Okay. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
All right. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 try. You get a $200 cashback reward on your signature card as well. And First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN gives you the free subscription through August 31st. $200 value. That's a $500 try. GBank First Bet VSiN. Go to VSiN.com/GBank. One-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account. In response to this offer, apply today. Terms and conditions apply.
You just hit a 19-1 with the Pacers, so you're feeling pretty good. You can take some shots like that now.
Yeah. It's a heat check.
Yeah, there you go. Meyer at home, 2.5 runs better than on the road.
Yeah, I know what I'm up against. It's tough.
I know. Are you sure?
It's not mission difficult.
Yeah.
I know.
All right, VSiN's NHL betting analyst Jonathan Davis on the program coming up next. What bets does he recommend for the Stanley Cup Final? We'll get into that coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
The Stanley Cup Final here. As Jonathan Davis joins the program, VSiN's very own NHL betting analyst, and he is on the Progressive guest line. All right, so the line has moved. We'll get into that and some of your bets that you like. Jonathan, coming up in a second, but of course, this is a rematch from last year. I want to start with this. How similar are the teams to the versions we saw last year? Where are they better than they were, and are they slightly worse in any areas?
No, I think, guys, that they're both better than they were a year ago. I think for Edmonton, look, if you look at straight numbers, you know, Edmonton's got, 19 or 20 players that have scored a goal and, 20, 21 that have a point. They were similar like that last year as well. The difference is that they were so top-heavy with Connor and Leon. I mean, they've got more players, does Edmonton, that have scored 5 goals or more in the playoffs than any other team. The Panthers, just as deep. I mean, they've got 10 players with at least 10 points. It's hard to find a hole on either side. So I think that, we're in for another doozy. I don't think we're going 7, but I think the teams stylistically, in many ways, both of them want to extract a pound of flesh from you every time they hit you. They want to hit you so hard in games 1 and 2. So by the time that we get to a game 6, you're so physically beaten that you're going to start making even more mistakes than you may have earlier in the series.
I asked you last week, if this was the matchup, what would you do? And you snap called and said, not only Edmonton, you said Edmonton minus 1.5 games. You still feel that way?
Yeah, I do. Cause I don't think we're going 7. At least I'm hoping that we don't go 7, and at plus 176 for minus 1.5, I think it's a great price. You know, there are other ways that you can approach it. If you want to target a player, you know, on either side to win the Conn Smythe, you're going to get a better price. Very similar to, you know, attacking the Super Bowl. And if you like the Chiefs, play Patrick Mahomes instead of playing the Chiefs on the money line. So I think there, you know, there are multiple ways that you can approach it. But for me, yeah, Edmonton minus 1.5. The other one I also did jump in on, guys, is I played Edmonton to win game one and to win the series. I think that was about plus 160. I also played Florida to win game one and Edmonton to win the series. I think that was about plus 340.
Why do you like the Oilers so much?
I think that there's a different demeanor about this team. Last year, they were so giddy to make the final. This year, you watched Connor and Leon after they knocked out Dallas, and it was very much a business-like approach. It's like, we're supposed to be here. And I don't think, you know, the first time around, I think they got kind of caught up in it. They know what to expect. We saw the way Connor was, you know, in the Amazon video last year, how angry he was. I think, you know, this team just, they're different. They're different. And they're not only, you know, when I talked about the numbers about how many different players have scored a goal, there's a trust factor that I noticed amongst Edmonton this year that I haven't seen in years past. For instance, a guy like Victor Arvidsson, who got himself back into game four, I think it was, for Edmonton. This is a guy that sat out a good chunk of the playoffs, yet with 3 minutes to go in a tight game, Chris Knobloch, the Edmonton Oilers coach, put him out to protect, you know, a one or a two goal lead at the time. That tells me a lot about this team, and it doesn't matter where you are in the lineup. If you're in, you're playing.
Both very good, no doubt about it. Florida trying to repeat, but also you got to be lucky, right? I mean, how do Kings fans feel? How do Maple Leafs fans feel? I mean, these teams were – Edmonton was down 0-2 in the first round. They were going home.
They were going home, and in the case of the Florida Panthers, you know, they're down 2-0 in Game 3. They're down 2-0 and 3-1 to Toronto, and they needed overtime to win that game to turn around the series. So both these teams have, you know, had to face some major adversity. The other interesting point, though, guys, is that, you know, each of them has had one long or extended series, but in total they've played a combined 33 games. That's the second fewest in Stanley Cup history. 30 is the fewest games amongst two finalists. So they've had a little bit of rest. Both these teams, you know, coming off a five-game series, they had a chance to get some guys who were banged up healthier. For Edmonton, obviously, no Zach Hyman. A big loss for them, but I think because of their depth, they can overcome it much better this year than in years past.
All right, good point. What do you expect out of Ekholm?
Well, I mean, look, you know, it was so important for Edmonton to get him into that final game against Dallas. They did not want his first game to be game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. He did not disappoint, did not look out of place for a guy, you know, hadn't played in, what, about 9 weeks. So I'm no concern. You know, Connor Brown, who suffered the concussion in game number three, he's good to go for game one. So Edmonton, you know, look, outside of the Hyman injury, is in a good spot.
Okay. I give you full marks here. You've been on this for multiple weeks, pointing this out. If you can tell me, why do you think this is happening? And if you're going to come back and do it again in game one, that is... Every team covers the puck line here, the winner. 11 in a row and 20 of 22. So if you play both teams on the puck line Wednesday, you can get plus 285 or 270, depends where you bet, on Florida, and plus 195 on Edmonton. What are you going to do?
I'll stick with it. I mean, until we're told not, you know, until there's a maybe fails back-to-back games, you got to go with it. And, you know, I also went and took a look back to see how many times does an empty net goal come into play, because that's another one where you can play both sides. Uh-huh. So the last four Stanley Cup playoff games, we had an empty net goal. Six of the last 11 Stanley Cup playoff games, we had an empty net goal. Now, it's only nine of the last 22, but even that, you're still making a profit, because if you're going to get both teams at about, you know, at least, you know, you're getting them over $2, both teams, for an empty net goal, play them both. Play it every game, and you're going to be on the plus side.
Well, but those numbers also, right? What were they to begin the playoffs? Weren't some
you're
teams
over
like
$3?
Yeah, I thought some teams were like in the 6-1 range. Maybe that was like right to score. If you
not for an empty net. You're around 340 would be like the high spot for an empty net goal for one team, and you know maybe 280 for another. So look, for me, don't just play an empty net goal at like plus 110. Play both teams to score an empty net goal if you're going to do it.
It's amazing this year in the playoffs how often, as you said, I mean, that's been coming in. right? I mean, I guess you have to go back and study it's like nuts. Every single year. It doesn't seem like we had this many blowouts, and you know, no. beyond the first round, you get a lot of overtime games. But it seems like the you know the final the playoffs are the nuts every single year.
Yeah, you know, we've had fewer. I feel we've had fewer overtime games. I don't know for certain, and I think guys, a lot of that is you know the Four Nations tournament. I think plays into it. Guys are worn down and beat up. It's you know even a guy like Matthew Tkachuk who's put up some good numbers. He's not the same guy that he was in years past. He's not as dominating as he's been. So I think that you know guys physically have not been. You know, look, they're more banged up than normal. Yes, they've got it. You know, they've had you know what 5-6 days off. Since their last game. But hey, I'm still going to ride these trends until sure. we get beat twice in a row.
12-3 match, fifth in the expansion era. Mitch mentioned it last week, last two. Crosby got his first cup. So did Gretzky. When you go back and you have the rematch and the loser comes back and gets revenge. How about you have the jersey on? How about the Canada angle? Not only NHL, but NBA finals too.
Yeah, so you got SGA and Connor McDavid, both you know Toronto boys, both born a year apart. And then you also have in the NBA Finals for the first time ever, you've got two Montrealers going up against each other with Dort and Matheson. So, hey, Canada is not just a hockey country. It's becoming more prominent in the NBA.
Do you think the Stanley Cup Final is going to be a higher scoring series, lower scoring? Is it going to be mixed? Like if you had a prediction, are we going to get more, I don't know, 3-1 games or is it going to be 5-4?
I think, you know, generally you see the high scoring games early on. Like I would lean to over 6 in game number one. And I would even, you know, and if that number, if you want to play it live and maybe see if you can get a 5.5, go for it. As the series goes on, I would expect to see, you know, more games that are lower scoring. But here's the other thing, guys. And when we get to that point of a clinching game, again, you want to look at that third period over 1.5, or you know, you can get a better price at over 2. That's something to also target. And clinching games, I'm trying to remember the numbers. It's something like 18 of the last 22 games we've had at least 2 goals scored in the third period.
So, do you think that if somebody really likes Edmonton in this series, your advice would be to bet McDavid to win the Conn Smythe rather than them on the series price at this point here at Circa? They're up to $1.24 now to win this thing.
I would take Connor McDavid to win the Conn Smythe. Yes, that would be, yeah, I would take McDavid or, you know, play the 1.5. But I think that, you know, the safer one, I mean, look, the -1.5 at +176 is a nice price. But I would also go on McDavid. You're getting him at plus money to win the Conn Smythe. Hey, why not take it?
How about Dreisaitl, though? He's only 1 point back. Can he have a big series and 9-1 in some spots, 8-1?
He can, and you're right. You know, it's just that Connor's had 2 defining games, game 3 and game 5 against Dallas. As Chris Cuthbert from Hockey Night said, when he scored that 4th goal, he just put the dagger into the stars. Mitch, I know you've got the Skinner ticket. He's going to need 3 shutouts, I believe, in this series to get the Conn Smythe. It's not impossible. You know, I went back, go back to 2018 when he played junior hockey. He had 6 shutouts in a postseason.
Well, that's all I need then.
It's not unlike Skinner to do something like this.
It's been done before.
So. Hey, dude, he's hot. Come on.
Sure. You can also follow Jonathan on X. He's at West Coast Hockey. During the Stanley Cup, these games that are live, he'll be tweeting out a lot of bets as well. And make sure that you read his write-ups for all these games as well at vsin.com. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy the games.
All right. Thank you, guys. Good luck.
We'll talk soon. There you go. Up next, player props for tonight. Also, the NBA Finals. How many points will SGA averages up? I can't believe the number.
He's 6.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
NBA Finals are set, begins later on this week. The Thunder, gigantic favorites against the Pacers. I think it's going to be a fun series. You know, you can still have a pretty good and exciting series that goes 4 or 5 games. Maybe not necessarily a sweep, but you can get like a 5, whatever. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, we have a ton of different markets to bet into at this point. I have, I've made 1 bet so far. I'll tell you about that coming up in a few minutes. It's my favorite bet that I found at this point. How are you approaching this? Anything, the numbers that you have to, like, with the Thunder laying 1.5, 2.5 games, you're not even getting anything special there. And I put this question out on Twitter as well. Like, what's the series price if Indiana goes there and takes the first 2 games? Is it pick 'em?
It's Boston, New York all over.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Boston was a little bit heavier as a favorite going into the series.
And for the and for these people who have big future tickets, you know, how do you hedge and how do you attack it as well as what if you get game one or what if you steal game two? What happens? And if you want to bet the double, which is as low as 275 that I saw. But you are right. It could be high scoring and should be. Playoff possessions per game, OKC 2, Indiana 3. Indiana's the number one team in from three in the playoffs. OKC's third offensively. Indiana's 10th defensively. It's a number two offense against the number one defense. And I think a lot of it comes down to Halliburton, who they've contained the last four meetings. But the pace and the possession should be there. And I know a lot of people like game one over.
So some of the numbers on SGA are absolutely nuts, right? To average 30 points per game, he's minus 450. To average 30 points per game, you got to lay $450 to win 100. That's a big price right there. Most points in the series, you saw minus 3,000. BetMGM has minus 5,000 for most points in the series.
Come on.
It's incredible. I mean, it really is.
Took a twist and ankle.
Yeah, I mean, so like, who would you want to bet in that market beyond him?
Siakam.
He's 30-1.
Yeah.
Like, there's an angle there.
There's
You're
also
exactly
a blow,
right.
There's a blowout angle, too.
Right, right.
They might spank him. If they win the series, they would tie the 97 Bulls, second most wins ever, 84. So, I know it was said by a couple people, I thought it was a good line, they hit playoff puberty against Denver, and it just goes to show you how good Joker is, but they had their issues offensively, and certainly they've had their issues on the road. But this is an all-time defense, and they are tough to beat at home, and they should be undefeated at home. So it's a tough task for Indiana. I hope they can compete.
How about this? Will SGA score 45-plus points in any game of the series? Even money.
Even money?
Yeah.
I'd
like to bet that. No, it's a one-way price. I'm looking at BetMGM here. How about SGA to score 25-plus points in every game of the series?
25 in every game.
Plus 110.
Really? Now you have my attention.
I mean,
that's a good one.
If it goes seven games, then, but if it's a sweep or a five gamer, now you're talking.
Yeah.
Like, that can happen. But here's the one that I'd bet with SGA. And I love the guy. This is not going to be a fun one for me to watch. Oh, well. I think the number is so out of control that I had to bet the under. Well, SGA, it's an over-under bet. Points per game averaged in the series is 33.5. I had to bet under 33.5 minus 120. I just have to avoid the 45-point or the 50-point landmine. And if you give me one game, what if they go to Indiana and it turns out to be a Minnesota-type game?
Could be.
Right?
Carlisle's a good coach, too. How about you try to take them away and let the others beat you?
Right, there you go.
I mean, you can leave guys wide open if you want.
So, and I've done this before with guys who are in their absolute prime. I've talked about this story on the air before. I did it with Curry one game a couple years ago in the playoffs. His game, for one game, it was 36.5. I'm like, he's got to get to 37 to beat me. He was red hot, like blistering hot at the end of the year. I'm like, no, I'll go under. Finished with exactly 37 points. And that's after he never took a shot in the first 5 minutes of the game. I'm like, oh, that's tough, but if he beats me, I have to go under, and it will probably not be a fun one or enjoyable for me to watch, but it's just one of those principal things.
I also thought you were going to say that the Halliburton price is too high. Most assists,
that's a huge number.
You can get 5-1 on SGA, most assists in the series. What if they lock him down? Again, this defense is – now, Indiana doesn't turn it over. They better not. But this defense, they take it away from you like I've never seen before. I mean, to get Caruso and Hartenstein and how good they were last year and what they – Dortcher Chamber – Wallace as well.
Right.
I mean, this is, and they have locked him down. He averaged 12 a game against them the last four.
They could decide to treat him like they treated Anthony Edwards in game four, where that was the mission statement, right? It was Lou Dort. You're going to pick Anthony Edwards up full court, and you're going to make him want to go and hide in a corner and cry. And Anthony Edwards, I said this on the air, I'm like, it's like his soul got sucked out of him in the first quarter of that game. Lou Dort was so physical and pushed him around, and he gave him not an inch of space to operate with, and he totally took Edwards out of the game. And they have the weaponry here, right? They have the depth, they have the personnel to run Lou Dort, and then Caruso, and then Cason Wallace, and then if they want to sprinkle on other guys, they could just say, all right, Halliburton, you're not beating us like you just talked about. We're going to make your life a living hell in this series.
Mm-hmm.
So, and don't forget that in the previous series against Minnesota, SGA led every player in every game in assists.
Yep.
So it's a big number. Minus 650 for Halliburton? No, thank you.
I like
now, most rebounds, though, is wide open.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know about that. It's not going to be a pace. They're going to get destroyed on the boards. It's going to be a Thunder player.
Let me rephrase. If Chet doesn't run away with it,
yeah, that's
then,
a good
then you can make the case for like five different players to win that award or win that market. And it's probably all Thunder players.
How about threes?
Tough one, too.
Halliburton, $1.20. Neesmith, $4.25. Dort, 6-1. Maybe they leave him wide open. SGA, 11. Turner, I don't mind Turner, 11.
Yeah.
And Williams, 11. Not bad. Nembhard, 20-1. Pizza money on Caruso? What were you making the case for with him?
I was saying, like, if the number was like 40-1 or something like that.
Okay.
It's 22-1 from, what do you see on him?
He's 30 at DraftKings.
30, that's a better number. By the way, talking about that with the Thunder defense, it can't be forgotten what Nembhard did in the previous game, too, against the Knicks. How good was that? Who saw that? The defense.
Yep.
He was incredible. He played out of his mind.
Yep.
So, here are some of the prices, by the way, on the series prices overall.
What do you think of the series price? And were you surprised that it's rarely this high going back? I'll give you numbers in a second. The $6, $7 range.
Indiana's very good. Uh-huh. But we have seen now the Thunder played it there. I mean, at home against Denver in three of those games and what they did to Minnesota when they played to their ceiling, they're clearly the best team in basketball. Clearly. And the price reflects that. Maybe a touch high. But what do you think of this? The Thunder minus 3.5 games is plus 325. So it's a sweep.
Yeah.
Plus 325 to sweep them?
We've seen their issues. They've had their issues on the road. That thing should have been 2-2 in Minnesota. And we know Denver took them 7. And how bad they looked on offense, and they couldn't cover and against Memphis, even though Ja was out.
Yeah. What are your numbers that you have?
In the last 50 years, only two teams have won the title when the series price, when they were $2 or higher. Think about that. It was the 03-04 Pistons where your buddy sold his house and put it all on the Lakers.
Oh, he put a lot of it on. He put a big chunk of it on what he made on his house.
The Pistons were 5-1. They should have swept them.
Yeah,
blew game one.
Yep.
And then the Raptors when they beat the Warriors. That's it. Two times in the last 50 years.
Boy, that's
what they're up against. I know. But you go back, can they win this? They would be the first champion that wasn't a top three seed or a defending champion. The Rockets team was a 6
Rockets
seed.
Rockets 6, yeah.
I think that Celtics team with Russell was a 4 seed in 69. The 14-15 Warriors entered the season 30-1.
Remember that?
The bubble Heat were 75-1. The 01-02 Nets were 60-1. And then these guys were 60-1 in that range, too,
before the
season. It was a great job by David Pert on ESPN.com with this rundown.
I remember the bubble Heat team because I absolutely could not have loved them anymore against the Bucks in that series.
Absolutely.
And I bet them every which way but loose, and they should have swept them, too.
Yep.
But I don't have that feeling with the Thunder against the Pacers. I don't see this being a sweep. Because, again, it comes down to three-point shooting.
And that's I know. And that's what they're going to do. And that's OKC's going to give that up.
Yeah. They'll have multiple games where the Pacers are going to get a ton of threes, and they have nine guys at play.
They pack the paint. They protect the rim. Third most three attempts allowed in the season. That's what Carlisle's going to do and tell them to do.
If they're going in.
That's right. Yep. They could get a couple. Want to know where the money's really going, unlike other sources? Our splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings, giving you insight into where the sharp action's landing. Circa takes huge bets from pro bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. You get the real action, not just the public money, and see the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport. You love it. You can't get enough of it. The betting splits make smarter, more informed bets. And get the betting splits and join the team. $9.99 for your first month. VSiN.com/subscribe.
More NBA Finals up next. Tom Burns is going to join the program. He covers the NBA and is a host on Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM. How long of a series does he envision? And what are his favorite bets going into the finals? We'll ask him next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.